Now, have you heard of Dirty John? Earlier this week, Hugh Rimmington chatted with the man behind this incredibly popular podcast and Netflix series.
Now, there are times these days when I think I don't want to hear another story about a creepy man. Turns out, though, the market for stories about creepy men is far from saturated, and one of the creepiest has turned up in a series on Netflix called Dirty John. It stars our own Eric Banner as a good-looking, apparently charming Californian doctor with a history of selfless humanitarian work in Iraq, no less, who sweeps a wealthy businesswoman off her feet. There is, of course, more to the story, and the man who tracked it down was Pulitzer Prize-winning Los Angeles Times reporter Christopher Gofford. Welcome to ABCRN, Chris.
Glad to be here. Thanks.
A big spoiler alert here. Who was Dirty John?
Dirty John is the nickname given to a guy named John Meehan, who was a career con man and probable sociopath who conned a lot of people out of their money and did a lot of damage before his violent death on a Newport Beach parking garage in late 2016, which is what gave rise to our interest in the story.
So how did you find the story?
A police reporter for a local newspaper called the Daily Pilot, her name was Hannah Fry, spotted an indication that there had been a death that she looked into. She broke the story for the Daily Pilot, and it unfolded from there. And the more I talked to people about this particular guy, John Meehan, the scarier he became. I spoke to a lawyer who said he was the single scariest man I've dealt with in my career. I spoke to police officers and investigators who said I've dealt with a lot of very scary and dangerous people. But there was something about John Meehan that chilled me to the bone. There was something about him that made him scarier than any other person I've dealt with. And so after hearing enough of this, our interest really became piqued.
I mean, there are a lot of murders in Los Angeles. This one, you just sort of picked away at the edges of it, lifted the Band-Aid off it to a certain degree, and discovered a whole world of deep nastiness.
I don't want to give away too much of the ending for those who haven't heard the podcast or seen the series, but ultimately there was no murder involved. It was a case of justifiable homicide. But how all that happened, you won't know until the very end of the series.
Sure. Let's leave such details off to one side. You mentioned the podcast. You're a newspaper writer, a very successful newspaper writer. Why did you go with the medium of a podcast to tell this story?
Well, I wrote a relatively brief print version of this story, a first draft of the story. I called it Dirty John's Last Con, and I've always been a print reporter, never did a podcast before this. Our editor-publisher at the time said, hey, this would be a great opportunity for us to do our first really ambitious podcast. And so I dived into it, got the right equipment, and began recording people, some of whom were hesitant, but most of whom went on the record on tape. And then very quickly, and I think in about 3.5 months, we assembled Dirty John, which last I was told has something upwards of 40 million downloads.
That's extraordinary when you think that a best-selling book, you know, counts in maybe a few hundred thousand sales. What do you think about this medium as a way of telling stories? It's relatively new.
Well, I think it's a great way to tell stories, particularly for newspaper reporters. And I think what sets Dirty John apart from a lot of others is that it emerges from a journalism tradition, meaning it is fully, exhaustively reported, meticulously sourced. Everything is factual. And yet it's constructed using some of the tools of fiction, which are scene-by-scene construction and character development. And so I think with that combination, it's proven a success. And I think it's been described as a true crime podcast, but I like to think that it transcends that particular genre and digs deeper into the psychology of the people than most so-called true crime shows do.
I can't help but agree with you. At its heart lies the victim, Deborah Newell, who is a successful businesswoman who was basically looking for love and does, as people do, go to a dating website or an app and thinks she finds it. But the daughters are far from convinced right from the start. They seem to see through this bloke.
Yes, and John Meehan successfully pits the family members against each other. He tells Deborah that the kids are taking advantage of her, that they just want her inheritance, and succeeds in creating estrangement between the family members. I think one of the reasons that this podcast has struck a chord is that a lot of people look at the family dynamics on display here and see an echo of their own. We all know somebody who is gotten into a bad relationship from which they can't extricate themselves. And there was an essay written by a writer named Megan Abbott in the LA Times, where she talks about the appeal of true crime, and she was referencing the Dirty John podcast, and she says that part of the reason that true crime is so compelling is that it's the place that women can go to read about the dark, messy stuff of their lives that they're not supposed to talk about, such as domestic abuse and serial predation, sexual assault, troubled family lives, and so on. And she said that true crime expresses the collective unconscious of so many women, all the taboo topics the culture as a whole represses. And I don't think I can improve on her assessment of why the genre is popular and why Dirty John in particular seems to have struck a chord.
There's also just the cautionary tale about falling in love based on a couple of dates on a dating app. You know, the mechanisms for finding someone else that are increasingly sort of mainstream are the ones that get her into this mortal danger.
Well, yeah. In, you know, a few decades ago, a con man like Dirty John, what's sometimes called a Lothario, would have had access to far fewer potential victims. These days, he has access to all kinds of dating sites, where he can basically cast a very wide net. If it's a numbers game like that, sooner or later he's going to find somebody in just the right place of emotional vulnerability that he can zero in on that vulnerability and take advantage of them. Thing to keep in mind is that this was a man who did this for a living. He literally made his living conning people and cheating people and wearing masks, being a chameleon for decades. There's been some blame directed at his victims, and to those people I just say this is a man who is a professional. He'd been practicing for the role of Deborah Newell's husband his entire life, and I would urge people to keep that in mind if they listen to the podcast or watch the show and might feel a judgmental impulse.
If I look at your work in general over the years, you're part of the Los Angeles Times Pulitzer Prize-winning team that looked into a thing called the Bell Scandal a few years back. And in some ways, it strikes me there are some similarities there, because this was essentially a down-at-heel municipality in Greater Los Angeles who gets this guy who comes in there as essentially the council manager, who winds up, you know, diverting a whole bunch of money into his own pocket. And what strikes me about these guys is these are not master criminals. They're not running, you know, massive drug cartels out of Mexico or something. They're not on the most wanted list. They're quite accessible, relatable, just weak, manipulative, self-serving people that we kind of meet all the time. There's something appealing about studying that psychology.
I think that every writer is basically doomed to return to three or four basic themes throughout his or her career. And I don't think you have much choice over what those themes are. I think you're just inevitably drawn towards certain things. And for me, it is con men, the power of self-deception, the complexities of human psychology, the masks people wear. And what's funny is I wrote this novel maybe 10 years ago, 12 years ago, called Snitch Jacket, which was a crime novel. And when I look back at it, to my surprise, it actually replicates in fictional form long before any of this actually happens some of the dynamics that I see play out in Dirty John. In other words, a psychologically compelling raconteur with great stories about an imagined military past manages to kind of psychologically seduce a vulnerable person into doing his bidding. And I find myself returning to these themes again and again, and I can't tell you why.
I do wonder, one thing about the United States that strikes me as someone with a great affection for the United States is part of it is the idea of success in the United States and the suggestion that if you're not a success, then you're some kind of a loser, that you have to do anything to present yourself as being successful. You know, Australia has a somewhat more egalitarian sense of itself. You can just sort of be noble and be ordinary, whereas in the United States, success seems to count for more, and the temptation to inflate yourself, then to start to believe that inflated version of yourself, seems a little closer there. Is that something where the lines blur that you think just exists within American culture?
I think you're right about America being the land of self-invention. It's very close to our image of ourself. We like to think on some level that the past doesn't count and we're able to create ourselves out of whole cloth. And I suppose you can see John Meehan as a character in that mold, in the mold of a Jay Gatsby, I suppose, but in a far darker way.
It's funny, even as you're saying that, I was thinking of the Gatsby example, but maybe 100 years on, close enough, there's an extra darkness to it. Christopher Gofford, this has been an amazing project for you. Well, it's a series now on Netflix, the Dirty John series, the podcast, definitely worth chasing down. And all your other books, as you mentioned, Dirty John and Other True Stories, your novel. Congratulations on your work to date.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
That's the man behind the incredibly popular Dirty John podcast and Netflix series, Christopher Gofford, speaking there to Hugh Remington earlier in the week.